Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
All right. Well, good morning. Before I start the sermon, by the way, my name is Kyle. For those that don't know me, I serve as the lead pastor here. Some of you were here with us last week at 11 o'clock, and you know that something pretty special happened. We got a chance to see some people surrender their lives to Christ for the very first time. And we have a tradition here at KCC where we normally, we can celebrate that. We normally light this candle when we know that that has happened, and we lit it last Sunday during the 11 o'clock service, but we wanted you all, the 9 o'clock crowd, to be able to celebrate that. So the candle is lit this weekend, and we do celebrate that together. We've been in a sermon series that we have called When You Pray. We've been walking through what's known as the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is found in both the book of Matthew and the book of Luke in the New Testament. And we wanted this series to be a way to give you some practical instructions on how to talk to God. Prayer is really conversation with God, talking to and listening for the voice of God. And in the first week, we talked about how when we pray, it's not just about asking God for a bunch of stuff. A key word from that week would be yield. It's about yielding to God's will. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And so we talked about yielding to God's will, purpose, and authority for our lives. And then in the second week, we talked about how God is an awesome provider. We talked about how God is committed to providing for our needs. He's an awesome provider. So we can be confident and we can acknowledge that God is going to provide for our needs. And when we pray, we're simply expressing gratitude and confidence in that God. So we've talked about yielding, and we've talked about God's provision. And if there's a key word for this next message in the series, that word would be release. Release. The word release, I've entitled the sermon that today, Release. And I'm going to ask if you have a Bible to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll be in verse 12 specifically. And hopefully you brought a Bible and something to take notes on or something to take notes with. I want to welcome in our congregation that's in Wyoming, Michigan, and Nagpur, India. Would you welcome them by way of applause? We really celebrate that we're one church in multiple locations. Anoop Salve is doing a great job of leading at the Nagpur, India campus. Mario Alfaro is doing a great job of leading at the Wyoming campus. And it is good to be living out the vision God has given us as a church here locally and around the world. And so the message is entitled Release. And before I dive in, I'd like to pray, and I'm going to ask if you would join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the ways you have already been on the move during this worship gathering. And Lord, we look forward to what you have in store in the moments ahead. Lord, I'm asking that you would use me as an instrument, use me as a mouthpiece for what it is that you know needs to be said to our congregation. And Lord, I just pray that we would all be listening intently to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there are things that you want to convict us of, if there are things that you want to change in us, oh Lord, I pray that you would do that. And Lord, for some, maybe it will just be a sense of affirmation that they've done the thing that is pleasing to you. God, we ask that you would speak powerfully in the moments ahead. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. I'm guessing that if I were to ask you a question, if I were to ask you this, what is the worst thing that has ever happened to you? Some of you would not have to think very long or hard about what that was. In fact, if I made it more specific, and said, tell me the worst thing that someone has ever done toward you or to you, for some of you, immediately you would think of a name, a face, an emotion, an experience. You know what it was. It's not hard to think about. I have to be honest with you. I'm always honest with you. I'll admit to you this morning, on the topic of release that I'm going to talk about, I feel like it's hard for me to connect sometimes with our church family in this area. Let me tell you what I mean. I feel like there's some areas in the life of the church and some stories that I can more easily relate to and connect with. For example, for a high school student that's trying to struggle with balancing school and sports activities or extracurricular activities, I feel like I can relate to that. I've been there. I'm running track and cross country in high school and being involved in other stuff. I remember trying to maintain the grades and also trying to do well in those activities. I feel like I can relate to the person that's struggling with the treadmill known as the business world, just trying to run and keep things going and trying to balance life with business aspirations. I remember working in the auto industry as an engineer. I feel like for folks that are going through that struggle, I feel like I can relate. In fact, it was funny recently. I was talking to someone who said that their spouse is getting frustrated when they walk in the house and they're on their cell phone. And I thought, I remember our first year of marriage. I remember when Petra would be all excited for me to come home from work and I'd walk in the house still having a conversation on my phone with a coworker. And I quickly realized that this was not going to be good, that I needed to set some boundaries and leave the phone off and make a commitment not to walk in the house answering work calls anymore. And so I feel like I can relate to that struggle that people may be going through. I feel like I can relate to those that may have opportunities to depend on God in their parenting challenges. I feel like God has given me some wisdom and insight that I can relate to. I feel like I can relate to the pain of walking through a health crisis with a loved one. I feel like I can relate to what it's like to walk through an infertility struggle. I feel like I can relate to what it's like to train for and run a marathon and all that goes into that. But if there's one area where it feels like I have a struggle relating, it's when someone has had someone deeply wound them. Because I honestly had to rack my brain and think about, when in my life have I had someone deeply wound me to the point where I've had a hard time forgiving them? In fact, it was so hard to think about. I found myself saying, well, first of all, thank you, Lord, for the life that you have blessed me with. But I started to do like an inventory of my life. I mean, I started way back in kindergarten. I was like, did anything happen in kindergarten? Did anything happen in first grade? And then I got to second grade, and a memory was triggered. And you might think that this is funny, but I remember in second grade, there was a girl that I liked in the second grade. And we used to pass notes to one another. Do you like me? Check the box, yes or no, right? And I remember this girl. And I was only at that school for that year, and then I moved to a different school. Moved to a different school, went on through high school, got to college at the University of Michigan. And in my freshman year, I saw this young lady that I had not seen since the second grade. And it was like a great reunion. I mean, we were friends and we were able to like reconnect. And we didn't remember each other right off the bat. It was one of those conversations where it's like, where are you from? And where are you from? From Detroit. And well, what school did you go to? I went to such and such school. Oh, yeah. Did you go there when I was? Oh, yeah. I remember you. We used to pass notes. And we were friends in freshman year and we tried dating and it didn't really work. And then my fourth year at the University of Michigan, We try to get serious about this dating thing. And as I reflected on this memory in preparation for the message, it hit me. I remember that fourth year. I remember when we tried dating. And I remember she cheated on me. She cheated on me. And, you know, to make matters worse, she cheated on me with an ugly guy. No, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, man. Lord, help me. It was like adding insult to injury. It's like, you chose him over me? Can I? It's Somebody said, and he went to Michigan State. Boy, I tell you, that would have been even worse. Can I be real with you? Do I have permission? Umbrella of grace. You know, and this is tough because I know that my mom watches my sermons. And there's things about my life that my mom doesn't even know. You all got jokes today. Somebody say, yeah, right. No, my mama doesn't know this story. I've never shared this from the pulpit. You know, what made it harder when she came to me to tell me that she had cheated on me was that, I want to speak in code a little bit because I know there's some little kids here, but she cheated with a guy that gave her something that nobody wants. And so when she came to tell me that she had cheated on me, I knew that I had crossed some lines in that relationship that I shouldn't have crossed. I wasn't walking closely with the Lord. And so part of her telling me was saying, and you need to make sure that you haven't gotten the gift that I received from that guy. You tracking with me? Okay. And so that added to the wound. It's like, what? You cheated with an ugly guy who gave you a gift you would never want? And fortunately, I had not received that same gift. Praise God. But I did have to walk through the process of forgiveness. Not reconciliation at that point, but forgiveness. This idea of releasing things to God. I feel like if that's the, some of you may be feeling it, if that's the worst thing that's ever happened to you, some girl cheating on you in college, well, Pastor, you have no idea. And I'm admitting that to you. If there's an area that I struggle with relating to our congregation on, it's those areas of deep, deep woundedness from people. For some of you, just me telling that story about a girlfriend that chose someone else over me, it brings to mind times where you feel like someone chose someone else over you. Maybe it was in a marriage where a spouse was unfaithful and you feel like someone chose someone else over you. Maybe it was in a dating relationship where you feel like someone chose someone else over you. Maybe it was when you were a child and you feel like your parents chose work over you, or one of your parents chose alcohol or drugs over you, or maybe it was a situation where you were a child of a single parent and they chose a boyfriend or a girlfriend over you, and you always felt like you were in second place, like someone else was being chosen over you. And for some of you, those feelings are welling up right now, and you say, Pastor, you're going to talk to me about releasing that to God. And yes, the key word today is release. Release, release. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 6. It's what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. We've been in this for a couple weeks now. This is what it says. This is where Jesus is describing how you should pray. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, we've talked about yielding to God's will. We've talked about how God is trustworthy and committed to providing for our needs. God will give us our daily bread. God will give us what we need. And then we get to that part of the prayer that says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Just so you know, in Luke's version of the prayer, the way Luke recalled the prayer is that Jesus said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. If you learned this prayer as a child, you may have learned it different ways. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. However you say it, there's this connection in there between our actions and what God has done for us, or what we're asking God to do in us. Forgiveness, if you're taking notes this weekend, forgiveness from God releases us from debt. Let me take you back for a moment. Forgiveness from God releases us from debt. We serve a God who's all about canceling debts. And that should be something that we celebrate. God, from day one, has always been about canceling debts. If you were to go way back into the Old Testament, if you were to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, if you got to Deuteronomy chapter 15, you would see how God was describing for the children of Israel how to go about canceling debts. God instructed them, every seventh year, you should cancel all debts. If folks owe you money, cancel the debts. In fact, he walked them through specifically how to go about doing that. And there's a part in Deuteronomy 15, go read it on your own at some point, but there's a part where God specifically says, now when it comes to canceling debts in the seventh year, if you are about to loan someone some money, right, and maybe it's year six, and you're gonna loan some money, but you think, oh, we're close to year seven, where it's gonna be time for all debts to be canceled, so you let that keep you from loaning the money because you know you might not get it back. Do not harden your hearts with those kinds of thoughts, but give freely and generously. So strictly in a financial sense, God built into the culture of the children of Israel a regular rhythm of canceling debts. Now, there's some scholars that debate about this. Some would say it couldn't have been about canceling debts. It had to just be about not demanding payment during the seventh year. Because if it was about canceling debts, that system would have never worked. Some say people would have never loaned any money because they would know that come the seventh year, it just meant that they weren't going to get their money back. And others would say, no, it was literally about canceling debts, and God was trying to promote a generosity that didn't matter. It didn't matter if one day you'd have to cancel it. You would be generous, trusting that your money was coming back, but if it didn't, you'd say, I trust the Lord to provide. In a financial sense, God has always been about canceling debts. I think about in my own family, in our own household, Petra and I learned a long time ago that when it comes to loaning money, like we've had friends that have asked us to borrow money. And early on, I think we loaned folks money and then sometimes they wouldn't pay it back. And so that was okay if we didn't need the money back, but if there was a situation where we needed the money back, we found ourselves in a bind because of their lack of follow-up. And so we made a decision that we won't loan money unless it's money that we truly don't need back. It's almost like we loan it with an expectation that they may not pay it back, and if they don't pay it back, we'll be okay. But if it turns out we really need it in order to live, we say, you know what, we can't loan you money at this time, but we'll pray for you. And folks have paid us back sometimes, and there have been other times where folks didn't pay us back, but we didn't stress over it, and it didn't destroy the relationship. God is a God that's all about releasing us from debt. You might say, well, what do we owe God? You know what we owe God? We owe God our total obedience. We owe God our lives. Do you realize that apart from God, we can do nothing of lasting eternal value? That we owe God our allegiance. The reality is we live in a world where there are a lot of things that tempt us and distract us and take our allegiance away from God. And God is a God that says, in spite of all of that, I forgive you. Scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture tells us that Jesus, even when he was stretched out on a cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Cancel their debts now, because they don't even realize what they're doing. This is the kind of God that we serve. When we are forgiven by God, the debt is canceled. We don't have to stress about what do I owe God? How can I please God? Is God upset with me? When we receive forgiveness from God, the thing I want you to know is that we are released from debt. That's something we can praise God about. When the text says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, we're saying, God, thank you for releasing me from the debt that I owe you. Thank you for releasing me from the punishment that's caused by sin. Thank you for releasing me from the damage that I would do to myself if I tried to live on my own terms rather than surrendered to you. And I gotta tell you, this kind of forgiveness is what's unique about Christianity. And this is something that other faith systems can't fully comprehend. What do you mean that you can't go and sacrifice appropriately and walk through rituals to gain God's forgiveness? What do you mean God freely has forgiven you and freely you can receive this forgiveness. What do you mean? That is the scandal of Christianity in the eyes of other faith systems, and it's something that makes Christianity so cool, in my opinion, that God is willing to forgive me even when I don't deserve God's forgiveness. I've been released from debt. But there's another part of forgiveness. In the text, it says, forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. There's a we also part of that text. There's the implication there that God releases us along the same lines that we release others. In other words, when we extend forgiveness to others, it actually releases us from bondage, from being enslaved to the things that come with unforgiveness. Like we're told here that there's a connection. In other words, if you meet someone that says, I'll never forgive that person, I will never in my life forgive that person for what they did to me. If you meet someone that says that, you're talking to a person who's not aware of their own sin, who's not aware that their own sin deserves judgment, that their own sin deserves punishment, that their own sins can be forgiven. And so you'll walk around and see people who are in bondage to their unforgiveness. They just haven't let it go. They hold on to it. When we hold on to it, we're actually the ones that are in bondage. It's like walking around with a backpack filled with weights. One of the things I love about our Celebrate Recovery ministry in the church that meets on Monday nights at the Kentwood campus is that they're trying to help people take this backpack filled with grief and shame and condemnation and anger and all these challenges, these hurts, habits, and hangups, and gradually let the weights out and gradually let it go and gradually lay it down to the Lord. Because let me tell you something. Anger will eat you up from the inside. Grief will eat you up from the inside. Bitterness will eat you up on the inside. If we don't release others through an intentional act of forgiveness, I love the way that Margaret Stuck, an author, phrases it. She says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then hoping the other person dies. You may have heard it stated different ways. Some person said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person gets hurt. One person said, unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison and hoping that the rat dies, right? When we drink the poison of bitterness and unforgiveness, it will slowly decay us from the inside out spiritually. Some of you know that out on social media this week, I asked for some stories of forgiveness. And I was blown away. You are seated in rows near people in our church family who have made a conscious choice to be released from bondage. They have made a conscious choice to let go of some deep, deep wounds and hurts that have been inflicted against them. And if you're a person who has not let go yet, who said, I'll never forgive, I'll never let it go, you need to know that there are people in this church family who have been victims of sexual abuse, physical abuse, abandonment, all sorts of challenges, and they've chosen to let it go. They've chosen to forgive people who are dead and some people who are still alive. I had one story shared with me that I was given permission to share. It's about a woman who was bullied in high school, bullied, well, really all throughout school. And then, you know how this goes, one day at a 20-year or 25-year high school reunion, she comes face-to-face with the main antagonist. And I'm not talking about just picking on a kid. I'm talking about straight-up bullying, the type of thing where you would think about maybe ending your life, where you would think about changing out of the school because it's gone too far and no one's stepping in. And at this 25-year reunion, the choice was made to forgive. And this woman now is pouring back in to children in this community, helping them navigate the challenges that come with school, high school, middle school. And I don't know that she'd be in a position to do that in a healthy way if she hadn't chosen to forgive. Heard another story of a woman who had a husband that had all sorts of issues, abuser, affairs, all sorts of challenges. Yet they have a child together. divorce has happened? How do you be cordial to someone who has abused you? It's only by the grace of God. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit. And you can say, I choose to forgive you for the wounds you've inflicted on me, even though it hurt and even though it doesn't make sense. Some of you told me that there's a song that has ministered to you, a song by Matthew West entitled Forgiveness. And just listen to the lyrics of this song. It says, it's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. It takes everything you have just to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Some of you are hearing that whisper right now. The Holy Spirit is saying, set it free. Release it. Let it go. Matthew West goes on to say, show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There's no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Can you imagine if I said on the way out today, I have a 100-pound sack that I want you to tie to your leg and I want everyone to walk out to the car dragging this 100-pound sack. You would say, I'll never do it. But some of us that would say in a heartbeat, I'll never do that, are the ones that are carrying around a 100-pound sack of bitterness, a 100-pound sack of anger, a 100-pound sack of frustration towards someone that has wronged you. And I'm telling you today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can release it to God. To say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, is saying, God, would you show me how to do for others what you've done for me? In fact, that would be the third point that I would make today. This prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, really reminds us to practice what God has done for us. This is a constant reminder. You know, when I was a child, there's a story in our neighborhood about my oldest sister, Kim. One day, my oldest sister, Kim, she took a boy's skateboard, she picked it up, and she threw it halfway down the street. Now, the thing that made this so interesting was my sister Kim has this really high-pitched, squeaky voice. Like, she turned 50 years old last year, but she still talks like this. Hey, Kyle, how's my little brother doing? Like, that's how she talks. In fact, she realized a few years ago that her voice could be used to do voiceover work for cartoons. And so one day I had to play you her demo track for the cartoon work that she's done for voiceover stuff. But my sister, this skinny, high-pitched voiced girl, got so frustrated at an older boy on our street that she pushed him off his skateboard, picked it up, and threw it down the street. And I remember hearing this story as a kid. And I think I was outside the day that it happened. And I just knew she got frustrated. I didn't know all that was going on in her emotionally. I didn't know what made her do this. It wasn't until years later, this is what my sister said. She said that there was a day when I, her little brother, was at this boy's house. And we were down in the basement. And, you know, I remember the day I was at his house. And I remember we were playing some game, and she felt like, and I'm going to use some clinical language here, she felt like he was grooming me. Some of you know what that means. She felt like that I was going to be a potential victim of some inappropriate conduct, some sexual abuse from this young man. This is what she feared. Didn't happen, but she feared this, and so what she did was she got so mad this one day at him even being near us, other little kids on the street, that she chucked his skateboard down the street. And again, at the time as a kid, I didn't know what was wrong with her. But as I thought about that story, I thought there are some of you in our church family that wish that you had someone to throw a skateboard for you. You wish that you had someone to step up and stop the abuse. You wish that you had someone to intervene. And what I need you to know is that even in the midst of the trial that you may have walked through, God has not abandoned you nor forsaken you. And that pain is not what defines you. You being victimized is not how God sees you. God sees you as worthy, worthy of dying for on the cross, worthy of redeeming, worthy of using your story to be a source of encouragement and blessing to someone else. Whatever it is that you have gone through, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you can release that person, that incident, that employer, that abuser, that spouse to God, if you can release the bitterness, if you can release the anger, if you can remember every time you pray that part of the Lord's Prayer, that this is about thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Show me how to do it for others. There's power in that. I love the last verse of Matthew West's song. He says, I want to finally set it free. So show me how to see what your mercy sees. Help me now to give what you gave to me. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, Mark 11:25, Jesus gives these words. He says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. There's a picture there, like, when you get up to pray, don't be a hypocrite. If you get up to pray, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, don't be a hypocrite and be praying that prayer, asking for God to remind you of who you are in light of sins that you may have committed. Don't be a hypocrite asking for God's forgiveness when you haven't forgiven person that has inflicted wounds on you. There are some things in life that have caused deep woundedness. There are some things in life that haven't cut very deep, but we still haven't let them go. You know, One more story. I remember at our wedding reception, at our wedding, actually. By the way, this weekend marks, it was 18 years ago this weekend that I took my wife to be out on our very first date, 18 years ago. And it was 8 months after that first date. Some of you who've been around us, by the way, know that we debate about when our first date was. So I took her out to lunch one day. We worked for the same organization. She says that wasn't our first date. Whatever. You know, I'll let her have it because it was a couple days later on a Friday that I took her out to dinner. Took her to a jazz club, and it was 8 months after that first date that we got engaged to be married. It was a year and a half after that first date that we actually got married, and this year in July, we'll celebrate 17 years of marriage. Wow, man. But I remember on our wedding day, there were a lot of little things that were happening on our wedding day. I remember our photographer for the wedding was like a chain cigarette smoker. And the reason I remember that is because there were times during the wedding, like afterwards when we were trying to take pictures, where it seemed like he was choosing cigarettes, like he was more concerned about his smoking than he was about taking the pictures we wanted. The pictures turned out amazing, but in the moment it felt like this guy is about to ruin my wife's special day. I was thinking this. And then the videographer, there were some tight shots, some close-up shots that my wife really, really wanted. And, you know, I wasn't like super mindful of it, but I saw the position of the cameras and I thought, oh man, this isn't what she asked for. And thank goodness the pictures turned out great. And then I remember we got to the wedding reception. We were up there, we were doing our first dance as husband and wife. Now I gotta tell you, the weddings in India, for our Nagpur friends, the weddings in India are a little bit different than weddings in America. But at this wedding, our wedding reception, we were doing our first dance. So I remember I was dancing with my wife. There was a song, it was by Sade, it was called Kiss of Life, and it's like, there must have been an angel by my side that led me to you, and I was doing my spin, and I had it down, and then I spin her around. Ooh, man, bringing back memories. But anyway, the DJ, Now, we had saved money for the wedding. We had paid everybody off. And the DJ, during our first song as husband and wife, about a quarter of the way through the song, after we had showed off our dance lessons and our moves, the song stopped. And it was like some glitch in the system. And then it started back up again. Now, in the moment, you know, what did we do? Oh, we just kind of played it off, right? And everybody said, woo, look at them. They just picked right back up. But in that moment, you start thinking, we paid these people good money. We paid the photographer good money. We paid the videographer good money. We paid the DJ good money. In reality, small things, right? We got married that day. I married the love of my life. And we're still together. You know, I celebrate that. That's a little thing. It's easy to release that. It's easy to release the DJ. It's easy to release the videographer. It's easy to let them go. But I know there are other areas where the wound is deeper. My challenge to you today, as one of your pastors, is to release it to God. I have a family member who I haven't talked to in over a year. We're at odds. It's an extended family member. We're at odds. There's things that I could say about him, and there's things that he'd probably say about me. And if I tell my side of the story, it feels like he has some deep pain that has caused him to push us away, and he has his version of the story. And we haven't talked in over a year, because the last time we talked, his purpose, and I knew this before I called him, his purpose in that call was simply to cuss me out. In fact, the way that the phone call went was, I called and I said, hey, this is Kyle. And he said, let me tell you something. And for 9 minutes straight, shouting, screaming, cursing, talking about me, my wife, my parents, my kids, he went off. You say, how do you know it's 9 minutes? Okay, I have to admit some immaturity as your pastor. I took my phone and put it on speakerphone, and I recorded it with my iPad. Like, I recorded his ranting, because I thought, I'm going to need this as evidence one day in a court of law. No, I've never showed the video to anyone. But he's literally screaming at the top of his lungs, and then I'm told he felt better after that. It was like a release for him. But we still haven't talked in a while. And I know that while I might think that I've forgiven him, when you prepare a message like this, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, help me to release. I know that I need to release that day. I probably need to delete the video off of my YouTube account. It's not public. It's in the private, unlisted, that no one can see, but I probably need to delete it. I probably need to stop anticipating. I shouldn't say I probably do. I need to. I need to let it go. I need to release it. And so we want to give you an opportunity today at all our campuses to release some things. You might have noticed in your family news when you came in, if it didn't slip out, there are some strips of paper, and I want to encourage you to go ahead and pull out a strip of paper. There's more than one if you need to share one with your neighbor. And there are pens in the seat back pockets if you need a pen. And you should have been given a balloon when you came in this weekend. What we're encouraging you to do is maybe write down that name, that organization, that situation that you need to release to God. You say, Pastor, it's not that simple. You don't understand the depth of the wound. I don't know if we understand the depth of the pain that Christ was willing to endure for us. I don't know if we understand the depth of the agony that Christ walked through so that we could be free. I don't think we understand the magnitude of the forgiveness that's being offered to us, and all we're asked to do is to release it. Release people to God. I'm not asking you to run out of here and reconcile with the person right away. I'm simply asking you to let it go, release it to God. And so I'm going to write down the name of that family member that I need to release. And what we want you to do is take that slip of paper. I want you to fold it up to a small piece here. I want to model this for you. We want you to stuff it in this balloon. You say, I'm not that coordinated. Get some help around you if you need help. Stuff it on in there. And then on your way out later, there are some helium tanks. We want you to fill it up. There will be people out there to help you fill up this balloon. And when you leave this place, we want you to just release it to the sky as a symbolic way of saying, Lord, I give it over to you. This is what you're going to do after the service. You're going to release it. For some of you, the name or the face that has come to mind is not necessarily someone that you need to release. Maybe you know someone you've wronged, and you need to approach them and say, will you forgive me? I'm sorry for the wound that I inflicted upon you. But for many of you, let this day be a day of symbolic release, because we serve a God who has released us. Amen? I'd like to pray about this for us before we continue on in worship. Heavenly Father, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. Heavenly Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lord, I pray that we would not be like hypocrites who stand and pray and seek your will and your favor and your purpose and your direction for our lives while we hold on to bitterness and anger and frustration towards the people who have wronged us. God, I know that there are many different situations in our church family. There are people who have been victimized in ways that they never should have been victimized. They have been on the receiving end of abuse, Lord. They have been on the receiving end of infidelity, Lord. They've been on the receiving end of someone that owed them money and never paid it back, Lord. They have been on the end of hardship because of someone else's actions. And Lord, to ask them to let it go is something that they cannot do in their own strength. God, we cry out to you and say, by the power of your Holy Spirit, O Lord, would you help us to do something that doesn't make sense in our flesh, but can only be done with your power and your grace and your mercy. Lord, would you help us to truly release the people and the things that have caused us pain in life, and help us to walk in the freedom that comes from that release. Lord, it's a conscious choice to say, I depend on you to be able to forgive. That's our declaration today, Lord. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.